Hey guys, welcome to this interview. I'm here with my good friend Anna Borkend, who is the senior pastor of C3 Rivers, a two-location church in the Netherlands. He's just published his first book, The Norman Factor, Seven Keys to Living in Breakthrough and Victory. Great to have you in the hub on this interview, Anna. How are you doing?
Great. Well, good to be here. It's such a privilege and I look forward to talking.
We're going to have a fun time. First, we're going to do the 60-second lightning round that I like to do with everyone I interview. So let's rock into this. What's your favorite food?
I'm going to go for the steak with potatoes.
Oh, nice. I like that. What's the best book you've read in recent times?
Well, I read different books. I like devotional books. And so on that top of the list there is Prophesy by Jenny Gilpin. I really like it for my devotional time, you know, prophesy those things over myself and to pray. And in terms of leadership, I'm going to go for Leader's Sight by Jurgen Matthesius.
Okay. Great two books. You can only have one. We're going with Prophesy. This is a lightning round, my friend. Your dream holiday destination.
New York City for Christmas, please.
Never been there. Would love to go. Who's your favorite person in the Bible besides Jesus?
I like Peter.
Yeah. Yep. Popular guy. I like him too. What's your favorite downtime activity?
Well, I have to go for two answers again because in summer I'm going to go for kayaking, but I can't do that in winter.
Okay.
So in Netherlands, you know, or out for a meal with friends.
Nice, nice. Kayaking sounds like fun. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Good man, good choice. Book or podcast?
Podcast.
Beach or mountains?
Definitely the beach. There's no mountains.
Jog. No, there isn't. You're right there. Jog or bike?
I do both, but I prefer the bike.
Yeah, well, that's a typical Dutchman right there, I would suggest. Love jumping on the bike. As I said, Arno, at the intro, you've just published your first book. Congratulations on that, The Norman Factor, Seven Keys to Living in Breakthrough and Victory. Fabulous book. I got to read it as you were kind of writing it step by step, which was a lot of fun. What on earth possessed you to write a book? What made you want to write a book?
Well, I'm wondering the same thing sometimes, but I always knew I had it in me and I really liked writing. So I've always, you know, known I would write a book or write books. My mom is a writer. I come from a family.
Oh, right.
Of writers, but you know, I was in my 30s, I just turned 40, and I didn't really feel like I had lived long enough to be able to say something. So never really felt the desire to start now. It's always then and there. I would start later, but then something happened in our life.
Right.
And that's what the book is about. Those events really led me to considering writing about it, because as soon as I started speaking in conferences or in churches about what happened on the 8th of May 2015, people came up to me afterward and asking me, "Can you please write a book about this?" And then after several people had asked that question, I felt like, okay, now's the time. I need to really put this on paper.
Wow. And I'm familiar with the situation, but tell all the folks in the hub, the members listening, what really triggered the book and what's the main theme and concept of the book?
Yeah, well, what triggered the book was the fact that when my wife delivered our third child at home in the Netherlands, women can give birth at home. And, you know, our eldest two were born at home as well. But when our third child was born at home, something really rare happened. It's called a uterine inversion. It's a complete inversion of the uterus out of the body after birth, which occurs with massive bleeding. So we were 20 minutes away from the nearest hospital, and my wife started just passing out, losing liters of blood. and life started passing out of her with each minute. And so there was a big battle going on for her life. Our church's vision statement is based around life. And so I just felt like death was pounding on our door. And I had to use some peace I had acquired in my life, like praising God in the midst of darkness, proclaiming what God is saying and what the circumstances are saying to find breakthrough. And I preached about these things before in church, but were they really tested in my life as much as they were at this point? But the book is called The Norman Factor, and people are asking me, what is Norman or who is Norman? Yeah. Well, Norman was a guy called Norman Williams in the worst airline disaster ever in March 1977. Two Boeing 747s collided on the runway of Tenerife Island, and 583 people unfortunately died. But he was one of the people in that Boeing 747 of Pan American Airlines. And he survived that disaster miraculously. And the whole thing of the book is that what is in you will come out of you in times of crisis. And so what happened with Roman is that as that crisis unfolded, as the pressure came on his life and flames erupted, people around him were burning and dying, suddenly out of his mouth came words of life and victory, words of praise. And he started proclaiming scripture. And the interesting thing is next to him were some women. They were on fire. They were dying. And as they were dying, they were really kind elderly ladies normally, but they started cursing God as they were dying. So I read this book. I listened to his podcast. It impacted me in a tremendous way. This was all before the events that happened to my wife giving birth. And anyway, so my whole book is based around what keys Norman applied, and he had applied scripture all his life, and when the pressure came on, what was in him came out of him. That's the whole theme of the book. What is in you? Because what's in you will eventually come out of you.
Wow. And I've had the privilege of reading through the book as you were writing it, bouncing around with different people to just kind of get some feedback, and just some of the principles you said are so helpful, Arno. It's a great book. And you can get the book at Amazon. We'll give you a few more details as we go along. We'll have links also in the notes here where you can buy the book immediately after you've listened to the interview, or even while you're listening to the interview, you can buy it. What was your writing process? And this was your first book. Your mum's a writer, so obviously she would have had a process. But what was your writing process that you found worked for you? You're a pastor. You've got a young family. You've got three young children. You've got a full calendar, a full life. What was your process to get all those words out?
Yeah. I put it down to four different things. First of all, I would set up the story that I based the book around. So my book is based around the principle that I just described. And so I immediately knew I'm going to start the book with Norman Williams' story. And then he used several keys to breakthrough, a key he had used all his life. So it's praising God, proclaiming the word, the blood of Jesus, prayer, all those kind of things. And so those keys made an easy framework for the book. So I had the story set up. I had the framework set up. Then I just need to start writing. So then I found a way.
So before you got really writing, you had your chapters or your skeleton or your framework worked out before you really got writing? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I had the framework set up already. So I knew how to start and then what was going to be the main part of the book. And then I just needed to start writing. And I found a way to write, even though, you know, I am working a busy schedule and three kids and everything. But it was really helpful to me to just write short amounts of words every time.
Okay.
At first, I wanted to write whole chapters in one go, but before long, you realize you never really get around to that. So I just started writing like 200 words in one go, or 500 words in one go, which is easy to do. You know, because it only takes half an hour or so, and but it adds up in the course of a week or a month. It easily adds up.
Did you have a set time of the day that you would write, or was that varied according to your schedule?
It would definitely vary. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, according to schedule. So it was really flexible.
Okay.
And cool. It helps that I like writing. So whenever I got around to, I had time to get around to it, I started doing that. So yeah, it's really helpful.
Awesome. So you had your framework, and then you just gave yourself to writing whenever you could, 200 words, 100 words, 500 words. Did you ever have a day where you kind of got into the zone and pumped out 2,000 words?
Yeah, well, that's the cool thing. What happens is if you want to write 2,000 words in one go, you never really get around to it. But if you decide to write only 200 or 500 words, which I decided to do, then what started happening is that suddenly I was on a roll and I had some time. And, you know, before long, you're there typing until midnight, pumping out 2,000 words. So those moments were definitely there. That really helped speed up the process, although in total it still took me about 18 months to write the book.
Right.
You know, but that's including feedback from people, sending around the manuscript, and then adapting chapters, adding chapters and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I think there's a real great tip there for people wanting to write is, rather than thinking, Joe, I've got to write a book, get your skeleton, your chapters worked out, your topics, if you like, even if they're not, you know, there's a great thing called an ugly draft. So even if your skeleton is an ugly draft, get it down. And I love that process, Anna, that you've mentioned. Some days 200 words, and then the 200 turn to 400, and suddenly it's 1,000, and you're in a flow and you're up to 1,500, because you started with a very small goal and just kept at that. And 18 months of writing, I think it's Winston Churchill said, books start out as lovers and end up as tyrants. That sense of the long haul. What kind of kept you going as you kind of got towards that second half of the 18 months? Was it kind of weariness, or was there an excitement or a perseverance factor? What kind of kept you going in that second half of the writing process?
Well, it helped me send the manuscript around to different people.
Okay.
So, yeah, I started including people in reading the manuscript. They gave me some real helpful feedback. So I would send it to people with experience in teaching, for example, or to other authors. And their feedback was so helpful. For example, one person said, your story and these keys you're sharing are very inspirational, but I don't really know what to do with them. Can you give me any hands-on help? Can you add application questions, for example? And so what I started doing is add application questions, and I added a final chapter which was fully focused on application, and that helped me going and finalize it into a real great product.
Wow. That feedback process, that's a great idea. I think especially people writing their first book, to have that feedback process, it's a really good tip for people getting into this deal. If you were to write a second book, do you have a second book in you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love that. You're a good
I'm
man.
I'm sure I'll write a second or third one, because I like writing. So there's always more to be said. It's not about the book. I guess it's more about finding the time and finding the theme again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What would you do different in your process compared to your first book? If you're to launch into a second book in 2019, what would you do different?
Well, I could think of different things. First of all, I would write a shorter book in less time. So because like the book I've written, it has about 224 pages, which, you know, there's many Christian books out there with that length. However, it's almost easier to read a book which is slightly shorter. So I would go for a short book.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Yep. I'm a fan of short books. I write short books. They're easier to write, but they're easier to read too.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you got the book written, you've had feedback from friends, you've got it nailed. How did you find a publisher? What sort of barriers did you find running into in trying to find a publisher to publish the book?
Yeah, well, that's another thing I might change next time, to first find a publisher and then write the book. However, I was going to publish this book anyway, so, you know, regardless of who would publish it, I would self-publish it anyway because of the fact that I really want to get the word out there. But I just asked around. I asked around different pastors, different friends of mine. I found a publisher in the United States via a pastor friend of mine in San Diego. And I ended up finding a great publisher in the United States called New Type. And they publish two types of authors. They publish either really well-known authors, such as John Bevere, or really unknown authors, such as myself. It's a self-publishing kind of deal that you make with them. So the author pays for it up front. However, the rights are also retained with the author. And the cool thing is that because it's published via an official publishing company in the States, it gets pushed through all the book channels. So it ends up automatically on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, on ChristianBook.com. Right. All these agencies, all these book companies, they can sell my book, because it's been pushed through the channels via this publisher that I found.
Yep. What was that experience like going with that publisher? Has that been a good experience for you? Would you do that again? Would you recommend them?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I would definitely recommend them if you're a first-time author, because, as I said, it's hard to find a publisher who would pay for it themselves.
Yeah.
So often you end up paying for it as the author, which I don't mind, because it's my first book and I want to get the word out there. But what happens with self-publishing often is that you then, if you do everything yourself, you then end up with 20 boxes of books in your house. And you know, now you've got to...
I've done that.
out your book all over the world, so I don't have to do that. I mean, I did get a few hundred books in my house that I can more easily sell here at church or elsewhere.
As I
travel or whatever. But people can order it online anywhere in the world because it's being pushed through those official channels, and that's really helped me using this kind of publisher.
That's awesome. What are you doing yourself to promote the book, to kind of get the word out there? What are you doing separate from your publisher putting it out to these various outlets? What are you doing to get the word out there yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm doing whatever I can. Of course, whenever I'm at a conference and I have the opportunity to say something about it, then I'm promoting it. Right. If I'm speaking somewhere, of course, at our home church, I did a preaching series around the topics that are contained in the book.
Awesome.
And so these are the things that are easy to do. And I'm currently working on a short movie. To really help visualize what actually happened to my wife and which kind of keys are described in the book. Because I find that many people, you know, they would be interested once they know the story. But they will never know the story until they read it. And in a visual world, I think it helps for them to see what actually went on. So, you know, maybe eventually, I don't know how big this movie will be. It's going to be a short one, but who knows? One day a movie will be made about it.
Wow. So you're looking at like a movie you can put on YouTube that people can just get into, have a look at, and go, oh, got the story, I want to get the book.
Yeah, that's one way I can promote it. And of course, you know, there's a lot of money that you can throw into it. Like you can do sponsored ads, whatever. to be honest, if you want to do this to make money, don't do it, because by the time I have sold 900 out of my 1,000 books, then I'm breaking even.
Wow.
So yeah, so it's quite an investment. Also because I've given a lot of books away to promote it. So I'm sending books around to different pastors.
Yep.
I give them away to my core team. You know, so it's really an investment, but I don't mind.
Yeah. If you've sold 900 already, that's fantastic. That's a really good high sales. Well done, sir. That is brilliant. And you're only in the first little while since you've launched the book. And I think you'll get a lot more sales as the years roll on as well. And I think that's very clever. I like the idea of that kind of little movie and that maybe, you know, that little kind of interview thing even with your Didger or any way to kind of get the story out there. Because once people get a touch of the story and a taste of the story, then they want to know more about it. And then before you know it, you'll be reading the audio book. you'll have it in all formats.
Yeah, so that's the goal, to really get the word out there. So yeah, I haven't sold 900 yet. I think I actually don't know many, but I'm saying I need to sell 900 to break even.
900 to break even. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm speaking it by faith.
Come on.
Gonna sell those 900 to break even, and you'll sell more, my friend. Absolutely, absolutely.
Awesome.
So you want to write another book? Do you have a topic for your next book yet, Anna?
I don't, although, again, people keep asking me, can you write a book about this, about our building process, how we're finding and acquiring a building as a church, which is like quite a miraculous story. But I don't know if I will write a book about that, because that only really pertains to a faith process of acquiring buildings as a pastor. That's not something that many people are dealing with in their life.
So I
don't know if I'm going to write about that. Maybe it's going to be a short book. just to share the story. But other than that, I don't know a topic at the moment to write about.
All right. That'll emerge as you go. Well, congratulations on your first book. And I'm very excited when you were telling me you're going to write a book, and then you got into it and started doing it. Because many people say they want to write a book, and some people actually get to the next point of starting, but it's a small minority who actually finish and then move on to publish it. That's it's a mammoth task. Took you 18 months. I'm not surprised by that length of time. It's a mammoth task getting a book out of your heart and mind into paper, and then where it starts to touch people and change lives. It's a well done, sir. It's a phenomenal process. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's
my last question. Sorry, Anna, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's also, I think, just to do with a life changing event that shakes you to the core, and then writing a book, to me, it feels like a birthing process. I'm not a woman, but it almost feels like giving birth. And so once you have something that you know you need to share, then it's easier. Yeah.
Wow. Well done. Here's a question I love to pop to all of my guests in the hub that I interview. You can invite four guests from any time in history except Jesus. We always assume Jesus is there somewhere. But you can invite four guests from any time in history to a dinner party. Who would the four be that you would choose to have at your dinner party?
Well, I guess it's a bit random, but I would go for Nelson Mandela. I am very inspired by his life, and I've read his book. It's very inspiring to read his story, his autobiography, Long Walk to Freedom. I would go for King David. I like David and his story, and I would love to meet him someday around the table, the Psalm 23 table, maybe. I definitely need to include a woman in the list, so I would then go for Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady. I think she's
very good left field. I love it.
I would include her, and then I'm going to go for something completely different, someone completely different, which would be Napoleon. Napoleon, the French king, some would say dictator. Who?
Yes, the emperor.
Yeah, the emperor, and he changed the European continent quite a bit. So I would definitely have him at the table and ask him some questions.
I love that. What a mixture. David, Nelson Mandela, Margaret Thatcher, and Napoleon Bonaparte. I mean, that's definitely a mixed table there, brother. You've got a mixed table.
I don't know if he would survive, but anyway.
I think it'd be, well, you'd have four, you wouldn't die wondering what anyone was thinking. I think you'd have four very, fairly firm opinions around the table.
Yes.
The most unusual guest that anyone said they would like to have has been Adolf Hitler.
Okay, wow.
Which was completely left field. A pastor I was interviewing in the hub said Adolf Hitler, and I was, wow, that is so left field. And they said, well, it would make the night very interesting around the table, and especially if you had any Jewish people at the table at the same time. But I reckon Napoleon's a very left field one as well, and Margaret Thatcher. I think you've done well there. And I'd like to be a waiter at the table, pick up the odd conversation.
That would be great.
I think that'd be a fun night. Hey, thanks so much for joining us in the hub with this interview. And this, I know, will really help a lot of budding authors out there. People who have thought they want to write a book, but now know far more about the process. Thanks so much for joining us, Arno. And there is a link here, folks, in the hub where you can buy The Norman Factor. Click through and buy it. There's also a link to a free chapter that's on my blog that you can click through and link through to that, and also have a look at gorgeous little Eva as well, a beautiful picture of her, and Yana and Yadidja and their family, and get the book. It's a beauty. Thanks, Anna, so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.